If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Malachi, Old Testament book, last book of the Old Testament there, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 16, and we'll read to verse 18. Malachi chapter 3, begin at verse 16. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the day. We thank Thee for Your Word and the truthfulness of it. Lord, how thankful we are for the fellowship that we can have with one another. Lord, we pray that You bless our time together here today. Bless Your Word. Use it for Thy name's honor and glory. Speak to us through Thy Word. Lord, that it may find a lodging place in our hearts and our minds. Forgive us where we failed You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to bring a message from this passage here in Malachi chapter 3. This is really one of my, if I could pick a favorite text, this is one of my favorites. I have a lot, but I love this one. Love this one. When we consider the blessings of Christian fellowship, the blessings of Christian fellowship. Time and time again, the Bible encourages God's Word, encourages, God encourages in His Word, His people, to fellowship with one another. Notice there in their text, "Then they that feared the Lord." And if you are here today and you're one of God's people, that's you. That's me. "They that feared the Lord spake often one with another." We all have friends. And whether you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert, the fact is we all speak often. None of us are mute. We all speak often. And some may talk more than others. I mean, I have a teenage daughter. Let's face it, she speaks more than I do. But I can't. Y'all can't say I'm quiet. We all speak often. But who are your friends and what do you talk about? What do you talk about? And do we speak of the Lord? Do we go out of our way to make friends with fellow saints? We ought to. We ought to. As we live in this world that, yes, is becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah, how we need friendships with God's people. We ought to have friends with other people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Over in Proverbs, you can hold your place there in Malachi, but Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. I love this passage too, because it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, that's good advice. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You see, that puts the responsibility on me, and that puts the responsibility on you. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But guess what, folks? If you look around you and you don't have many friends, that's okay. If you are one of God's people, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because guess what? No matter how friendly you are, no matter how friendly I am, you'll find out through life that your friends will fail in this world, and sometimes even your closest friends will fail you. And the reality is that the longer you live on this world, the fact is that there'll come a time in your life whenever you look around, you'll say, wait a second, I've got more friends in heaven than what I do here. I'm about to that point now, and I'm only 41 years old. But the fact is that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that will never fail you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, you see. And so I just want to point that out to encourage us all. Because as we live our life, and as we search out friends, and even as we search out friends with fellow saints, let us remember that the people that we're around, everyone is as depraved as we are. What we're looking for are folks who are saved to be our friends. But let's remember, like us, those who are saved, they're still sinners, just like we're saved sinners. Right? And we struggle with the flesh, just like they struggle with the flesh. And so there's going to be some troubles and trials and misunderstandings, and even some heartaches with the folks that we have as friends and all that sort of thing. But the one who we won't have any troubles or trials with is Jesus. And we keep that in mind, then we realize, hey, wait a minute. We have this one friend that we can always depend on no matter what. And he's our older brother, our Savior, our closest friend, our Redeemer. And everyone else, they're our brothers and sisters too. And we have those friends. And what a great time we'll have in life. They that feared the Lord spake often one with another. There are many ways that we can have Christian fellowship, aren't there? I enjoy times like this when we come together. And you know, we got started late both times this morning. But it's all right. What were we doing? We were talking. We were catching up. That's good. That's fine. You know, nobody was sitting here, arms crossed, looking at the watch, wondering where everybody else was. We were all talking. That's good. It's fellowship. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. In other words, we come together to the church service to worship, but we also fellowship with each other, don't we? Hebrews chapter 10, that's the way it should be. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Well, verse 23, begin there, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Sometimes we think of that word provoke as being a bad thing, but he says, "Let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching." You see, we're encouraging one another. We're provoking one another, if you will, unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, there are some today who have the habit of not coming to church. And we know who they are. We know them. They may be still on our rolls. We know who they are. But guess what? People are people. There were people who made that a habit back then too. But God in His Word said, don't be like them. Habitual non-attendance is wrong. He says, don't be like that. Come together. Come together. Let's not sugarcoat it. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? I believe he's talking about the day of the Lord. Listen, folks, Jesus is coming back. We need to come together. We need times like this. We need Wednesday night. We need Sunday. We need those times to fellowship and to worship together. Somebody said, well, I can worship at home. Well, that's true, and you ought to. But we also need corporate worship. We need to come together as a church and worship. We need that fellowship. Amen. You need it. I need it. Those who aren't here, they need it too. But this isn't all, is there? There's other times that we can fellowship with one another. I did something this weekend that some people would call crazy. In fact, I had some people say, you're out of your mind. I drove 640 miles one way to go preach at a fellowship meeting in Dover, Tennessee. For Friday night, and turned around and drove back so I could be here this morning. Somebody said, well, how was the other preachers? Did you at least get to stay for Saturday morning preaching? I said, no, there was no other preaching. I was it. I said, you drove all that way just so you could be the only preacher there? Yeah, I did. Why? Why? For fellowship. You see. Because here was the beauty of it. Not only did I get to fellowship with Brother Lafferty, and Brother Jim Duke, and Brother Watson, and some folks that I knew would be there, but I got to meet some people that I never met before. And the church there. And it was great. I can't wait until another couple years. Isaiah can help drive, you know. I wish Leah wouldn't have had to work. And Jill could have come with me. That would have made it all easier. But I made it. Praise the Lord for it. It's hard on the flesh, but encouraging on the spirit. We had a great time. And there were people that came. Some of them drove an hour to get there. They didn't know me. They never heard me preach. But they came to worship, to fellowship. Why? Because they love the Lord and they love the Lord's people. You see. And, you know, we hosted a meeting in June. Wasn't that long ago, June 25th. Do you realize that this little church hosted that meeting, and there's still people talking about that meeting over a month later? And what an encouragement that was to them, and what a great meeting that was. On the way coming, I got a call from one of the preachers, Brother Tate, and he was talking about that meeting and what an encouragement that was that we were able to host that meeting, and how he was encouraged because of the good time that we had and how everyone here had just a good smile on their face and were such good hosts and what a good time we had. And how that he was encouraged and he wants to have a meeting down there in Florida and all that sort of thing. And even though he's got a conflict in his calendar for that time next year, he's got it marked off to try and be here so he can be here next year. I praise God for that. Because fellowship with God's people is a blessing. And those men were an encouragement to us, and we were an encouragement to them. We're an encouragement to them as well. We need fellowship. They need fellowship. And it was a neat meeting too, because, you know, it's rare that something like that can happen because, you know, y'all had never heard Brother Lafferty preach and Brother Tate preach and they had never heard Brother Pruitt preach. And so there was a lot of people meeting each other and all that sort of thing for the first time, but everybody clicked together. How does that happen? Was because we're all children of God, and when you meet another child of God, it's like they've known each other their whole life. Something in common. We're related. We love each other, and I mean we're members of His family, members of different churches. But churches of like faith and order. And so we have some ground that we can fellowship on. And what a beautiful thing that is. It's a great encouragement. We can have fellowship in our homes too. That's also a beautiful thing. You know, our fellowship is nice when we can come together in the church buildings, regular services and special meetings. But what a nice thing that is to come together in the home. Whenever I was growing up, we used to have a lot of folks come through the home, and I like it whenever people can come here as well. Go with me to Acts chapter 20 and verses 20 and 21. There's a lot of verses we could use, but he said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. House to house. And we can have fellowship in the house. We have fellowship in the restaurant. We have fellowship in the street. You see. There's something about getting together with God's people wherever we can, however we can. And coming together. There's a special bond that we have with God's people that we can't have with anybody else. And it's because of the things that we have in common through Christ. You know, and I look forward to those times when we can come together, even if it is for a birthday party or some other occasion, whatever the excuse is. You know, come over for a hamburger, a hot dog, or whatever. You know, hot dogs are a special occasion. I mean, if we could go back in time and say, "Hey, Paul, guess what? I'm from the future, and we got this thing. It's chicken and beef and pork all rolled up into one, and you put it on a piece of bread." He'd probably wonder what in the world that is. He'd probably wonder if there was a cart of animals that just wrecked together and just caught fire or something. But what an amazing world we live in. But we got it. We got it. Peter would have said, "Man, I saw that in a dream, and I said, I can't eat that, Lord, it's unclean." But God said, "What I've cleansed, don't call it unclean. Eat it." I said, "We took that and perfected it here in America. And we have a good time over it. That's for sure." Praise the Lord. Good times. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 18, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God says that we're to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. No matter how much we try, sometimes we try to mash ourselves up with the world, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Amos chapter 3, the question is asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, even in nature, you go out there to the coast and you watch the birds. I've been along the coast in different places. There seems to be a lot of pelicans around here, and they like to fly together. Pelicans fly with pelicans. I'd never seen a seagull flying with a pelican. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? The dolphins. I'd love to watch the dolphins. They always seem to swim together. God's people. when they try to compromise and start trying to hang around the world, let's put it this way. If a believer and an unbeliever want to get together, whether it's in marriage, business dealings, or in close friendships, somebody's got to compromise. And it always ends up being the believer. You compromise your beliefs, compromise your stand on the Word of God, you compromise somewhere. And think of it this way, if you're making an omelet, and you take a bunch of eggs, and you've got 3 eggs to make an omelet. If one of them's rotten, you try to mix in that one rotten egg with those 2 good eggs, you're not going to get a good omelet out of it. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. In verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's good advice for young people, but it's good advice for old people too. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. God's people ought to be seeking out friendships with God's people. Be careful who your friends are. If you've got 5 friends, you're going to be the average of those 5 friends. No matter how much you try, you hang around those 5 friends, you're going to be the average of those 5 people. If you hang around people that curse, listen to rock music and all that sort of thing, it's going to rub off. You're going to be like them. Just watch out. Your speech will change and all that sort of thing. And it won't be long until your Facebook page and everything else will reflect that sort of thing. James chapter 3 and verse 10. James chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You take a good potato, put it in the potato bin. If there's rotten potatoes in there, it won't be long until that potato's rotten. And I'm telling you, God's people, while we're in this world, we must not be of this world. And we've got to watch out that we're not influenced by the things of this world. And so you've got to be careful of the kinds of fellowships that you get involved with, the people that you're around. And it's tough sometimes. I know, because I was a young person in church. I was a member of a small church. And guess what? I'm still a member of a small church. But you can seek out friendships of God's people, even if they're not the same age as you. You can seek out friendships of people who may not be members of the same church as you, but you can still find God's people. You just might have to go the distance, you see. And just know that the things that you say, the things that you do, those things, they will eventually come to light. Even if you're doing them in the dark around your friends. Because eventually those things will slip out. They have a way of doing that. Your speech betrays you. Facebook has a way of showing those things. And aside from the fact that it's a shame for your pastor to see it or your daddy to see it, your brothers and sisters to see it, aside from all of that, aside from the fact that it's a bad reflection on the church, just realize that the Lord sees even the things that are done in secret. And if our speech is not to be like the world, our speech is to be different, then what should we be doing? Well, if we go back to our text, what is it that they were doing? In Malachi, chapter 3 there. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They spake often one to another. You see, here's what was going on. These folks were fellowshipping often one to another. And then the beautiful thing about it is, if we would do that more often, then when we come into contact with the wicked world, we'll be more ready to witness to them. But instead, we waste our time in this world with vain chatter or even sinful talk because we want to keep friends. We've lowered our standards to folks who we ought not to even be hanging around. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. See, this is our duty. The things that we ought to be speaking about, the things that ought to be written in our houses and that sort of thing. I just taught on Lot's wife. You know, Lot's wife was responsible for what she did. One of the problems, though, with Lot's house was Lot wasn't leading the way that he was supposed to. When it came time to warn of what was going on, there in Genesis, in chapter 19 and verse 14. You see, in Genesis 19 and verse 14, it says, And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see, Lot didn't take things all that serious himself. I mean, when the Sodomites were banging down his door to get to the angels, you remember what he do? He offered his daughters. That's the type of man he was. He was a righteous man, but he wasn't quite taking things so serious as what he should have been. He was saved, but he wasn't living the way that he should have been himself. And so no wonder by the time he escaped and all that, that there were still some things that happened. He ended up losing his family as a result. God expects us to guard our hearts, our lives, our circles, even the people that we hang around, what we let in our door, so to speak, the conversations that go on in our houses. And yes, in our modern day, that even includes the TV, the radio, the media that goes on there. God wants for us to be thinking about, to be speaking the things of the Lord. It doesn't mean that it's a sin to talk about sports or the weather, that sort of thing. To talk about hot dogs and hamburgers and that. But, you know, it is a sin if that's all we talk about. When it says, when the Bible says that they ate, they drank before the flood and all and they married and all of that, it doesn't necessarily mean that that was all the sin, but what it does mean that that's all that they talked about. That's all that they thought about. They had no concern for spiritual things. You see? And isn't that the way it is in so many homes today? And even, yes, in some Christian homes. They don't speak about the things of God. Week after week, month after month, there's no difference in some homes between a Christian home, quote unquote, and an atheist home. But God loves it when we fellowship with one another over the things of God. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. We ought to speak about the beauty of holiness, the love of God, the sovereignty of God, the truths of God's Word. We ought to speak of the things of God's Word, the Lord's church. Oh, how we ought to love the Lord's church. Do you realize that this is His bride? Oh, we ought to love the Lord's church. We ought to speak of those things, the truths of church truth. We ought to speak of the awfulness of sin. To call sin what it is. We ought to speak about the promises of God. Oh, there's so many promises in God's Word. Many of them have been fulfilled, but some of them have not yet been fulfilled. And we long for those things, heaven and the world to come. A place where there is no more death, no more curse. The rapture. The millennium. The marriage of the Lamb. The eternal state. Oh, so many promises yet to come. how we ought to speak of those things. And yes, the preciousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, we ought to speak of those, of Him. Of Him. We all talk. Why not talk about the things of God? We speak of the things we think about, don't we? We speak what's on our mind. Some of us have no filter. What's on our mind comes straight out our mouth. But the reality is we all speak what's on our mind. But what do we think about? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Oh, we need to spend time in the Word of God, and we'll think on these things, and then we'll have a lot more to talk about, won't we? And then as we gather in more friends of God's people, then as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, we'll have more to talk about because we have more in common with those people. Malachi chapter 3. And yeah, it's true, there's not very many of God's people, it seems like. But you know what? The older I get, the more I realize I don't need a lot of friends. I'd rather have just a few friends of what I can count on my fingers than to have 1,000 friends that I can't remember their names. You know, a few friends who've got my back. A few friends that I can have relation with and understand, know and love. In Malachi chapter 3, that's one of the blessings of a small church, I suppose. A big one. It's hard to remember everybody's name and that sort of thing, but not only do we know each other's names, we know something about each other. We know the depths of each other, what our pains are, what our struggles are, and that sort of thing. We pray that the church will grow. Certainly we don't want to get into a rut where we think, my four and no more. We don't want to get like that. But we certainly can understand the blessings of a small group too. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. The book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Did you catch that? It may seem like a small thing, but even the faintest whisper, yea, even thoughts, are heard by Almighty God. Seems like small things, but God hears. And He blesses. And He records these things in heaven, His book of remembrance. And it doesn't have to be a big group. In the New Testament, He talks about where two or three are gathered in His name. It means under His authority. I believe that even small groups He rejoices in and blesses. He records these in heaven, His book of remembrance. Psalm 56 and verse 8. We begin to bring this to a close here. Thou tellest my wanderings. Praise the Lord for that. Thou tellest my wanderings. Seen the sticker sometimes, I'm sure. Not all who wander are lost. I'm in the hands of God, and so are you. If you're saved today, God knows. God knows. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God knows our conversations, our tears. You know, sometimes we get together, we cry, we laugh, we fellowship over the things of God, the things that we're going through. You know, I think I've told it before. Going through something, tell it to the Lord, tell it to the Lord's people. God records those things. The Bible says so. I don't understand everything about His books, but I do know He's got books and He records these things. The Bible says so. And I praise God for it. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. If you're here today and you're saved, if you're listening to this message and you're saved, this is a great blessing. But if you're not saved, this will scare you to death. Or it ought to. It says in Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Praise the Lord. If you're saved today, you are safe and secure through Jesus Christ. And may God help us as His people to be more like the saints of old, as they spake often one to another. We need it. We need that fellowship. We need it as the days go by, the years go by. We're not getting any younger, and the world's not getting any better. But I'll tell you what, the fellowship, it gets sweeter and sweeter. Because like I told the folks there in Dover, I don't reckon that there's anything any closer to heaven on earth than the fellowship of God's people. Whether it's a small crowd or a big crowd, I believe it's a glimpse of heaven on earth. And I love it. I love it. No matter where I'm at, whether I'm here in Georgia, up in Tennessee, or over in Ohio, it doesn't matter. God's people are a blessing to me, and I trust that God's people are a blessing to you too. May God help us to enjoy the times we have together, because one of these days we'll be, if you're saved, one of these days we'll be with forever in eternity with each other in Jesus Christ. And won't that be a beautiful thing? May God add a blessing to His Word. Let's stand and be dismissed.